Test.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Steel Man.
Okay, great.
Just a couple of questions. Can you tell me how the steel band originated here at Gunnison City?
Yeah, the steel band, I'd be happy to. The steel band started here, I have to make sure my years are right. Five years ago, 1990, when the university received a request from Dr. Colville Young, C-O-L-V-I-L-L-E, Young, Y-O-U-N-G, Colville Young, who had received a Fulbright fellowship to come to this country, and what he wanted to do was study arranging, because what he his primary interest was arranging some Belizean folk music for choirs. Dr. Young is not a musician by trade. His experience in music was pretty much as a amateur and as a folk musician. But Dr. Young was president of the University of Belize, and Dr. Young is now the equivalent of Belize is the prime minister down there of the whole country. This happened, of course, after he left and everything. So he had a Fulbright. He was awarded a Fulbright fellowship to come to this country and study. And in a Fulbright fellowship, you come to a country and you come to a country to study something that you're interested in. But in trade, you offer the host school something that you know that they can use. And what he knew about what he had done, he had studied steel drums in the Caribbean islands, in Trinidad and Tobago. He had spent a year on another Fulbright studying steel drums with the natives on the islands. So we received Dr. Young's request in the fall of 1989. It was forwarded to me by Dr. Welch and Tracy Young, who's Director of International Studies. Asking if I'd be interested in starting Steel Drum Band. At that time, I was the percussion teacher and the assistant dean in the College of the Arts. And I was very interested because it was something that we always wanted to do here, but we just didn't have the resources or the time to do it. And this gave us a really inexpensive way to get started. So we agreed to do that, and Dr. Young agreed to come in January of that year, in the middle of the year, and stay for a six-month period of time, January through June, to help us found our steel drum band. When we initially talked to Dr. Young only had one steel pan that belonged to him personally, and he was perfectly willing to just bring that up. And I think his initial idea was that he would just bring it up and demonstrate it and get everybody kind of interested in it and talk about it pretty much from a lecture format. I was more interested in the performance aspect of it, founding a group and getting a group started. So then we had the next problem of no budget funds set aside really for the steel drums. No monies had been set aside. So if we were going to start a group, we had to have pans. And that was before Bobby Crosby was here. In fact, it was 2 years before Bobby Crosby came. And so we were just kind of floundering. I mean, it was a bunch of people that had no experience with starting a steel pan. So I read up on it, figured out what we had to have, made several phone calls to Northern Illinois University and University of Georgia, places that had established steel drum band programs. And I asked basically what it was we needed to start and got the names of people to contact. Then through a friend of mine who was a band director, who's a steel drum band player, John Maines, who was at that time up at Eastman, not Eastman School, but he was in Eastman, Georgia. Mm-hmm. He was a high school band director, steel drum band player. John had, was a percussionist and gave me the name. Bobby Crosby was one of his former students. And between John and myself and Bobby, we had gotten the names of a gentleman down in Panama City who was a high school band director who was buying a whole new set of pans for his school and wanted to sell his old ones for a very reasonable price. We got a set, I think our initial set, we got for we got the entire set for $1,000.
Was that Charlie Rogers then?
That was Charlie Rogers. And Charlie Rogers, I called Charlie and I made him an offer of $1,000. And he said, yeah, he could sell them for that. And our original set consisted of a lead pan, a set of double seconds, and a set of triples guitars. And that was the original set. They were Manette pans. Bobby Crosby knew about them. Bobby Crosby had played on them, in fact, in Charlie's band. And so this was in December. We made all the arrangements. Then we tried to figure out how to pay for it. And we called around. We got between an anonymous donor and a grant from a Georgia consortium of schools. We raised $1,000 in private funds to buy the instruments because the university system won't permit us to buy used instruments using state monies. So when we found the deal that we raised the money to buy. So we did. We raised it. I took a $1,000 check and went down and bought the pants from Charlie into the university station wagon, loaded them up myself, brought them back, and Charlie gave me a stand for one of them so that I'd have a prototype to bring back for our plant operations to build stands for the others. I rode back from Panama City that December. It was the day before we got out for Christmas break. Brought them back up here, took them to my house, kind of cleaned them up. Took the model over to plant operations, and plant operations built us our other stands. And the set of black drums that we have downstairs now are those pans. That's that original set. So in January, Dr. Young arrived with the steel drum. He got here and came on board, and we started our fledgling little group. And it was a fledgling group at that time. It's nothing like the group that we have now, which is the steel drum band now is playing pretty sophisticated stuff. And thanks to Bobby and people that have come in with yourself and have some experience dealing with it. And so we started playing very simple Yellowbird and some Caribbean melodies. And Dr. Young instructed the group, and we used studio class time to develop group because we didn't have another rehearsal time to use. We had percussion ensemble, but we didn't have time in regular percussion ensemble to devote to steel drum band. So I used studio class time. So Dr. Young basically took over the studio classes for that year, from January to June. And his approach was very unique. His approach was very unique. He did not use any music. He sat at the piano and he played the parts that had to be played. And then he would look at a student and he would say, now play that back for me. So it was totally the oral tradition of teaching. This was how he was taught when he went to the Caribbean Islands. He wasn't taught anymore. And it just about drove those guys crazy. They didn't have music. He expected them to remember what they had learned through the oral tradition. He had little patience when they came to rehearsal and couldn't remember what they had done. It's a whole different mode of thinking, to have it written down. So our guys learned to bring tape recorders with them. They brought little handheld recorders to rehearsal, and then they captured it, what he played, and then they'd go practice that. It was absolutely the experience that I wanted them to have, because I wanted, it was, although it was inefficient in a lot of ways, it was another way for them to approach music other than looking at a written page. I mean, they literally had to use their ears. They had to rely on their ears. I think their ear training, everything got better that quarter. And so we learned at the end of the year, for the day of percussion at the end of that year, we learned three charts. And one of them was Yellow Bird, and I can't remember what the other two were right now. We put a rhythm section with it. But they were very simple arrangements, not anything like the level of sophistication now. There were no modulations, no chromatic harmonies, no fast rides, runs on the lead pan. The lead players played just a basic melody. We didn't have the bass pans at that time. And so we did our first day of percussion, and we played, and when we did our first concert here, it was met with resounding success, even though our group was, certainly by what we have now, by the standards now, it was pretty weak, it was pretty rough, and it lacked sophistication, certainly. But the guys were pretty earnest about it, and they enjoyed it, and so we worked on it, and it was a good experience. And then Bobby came, and Bobby took us to another level, with Steel Drum Band, with his own arrangements, his own experience. We bought a set of bass pans, probably from the time you were here. We bought the six basses from Tom Reynolds, and Tom Reynolds in Jacksonville has been a good friend of the band. He's been, you know, we bought those from him, and he's come up and done some tuning for us. And the band, under Paul Campiglia, since he's been a percussion teacher here, Paul's thrust is in the commercial area is much stronger than mine was as a percussion teacher, because I'm more of a classically trained orchestral musician. And although I do play drum set and do have some experience in commercial music, I'm mostly a classical musician. So Paul was, between Paul and Bobby, they were able to bring the level of the band up. Bobby with the steel drums and Paul working on the Latin and ethnic percussion and getting the drum set feel right and all like that. And so now the band is quite a bit different. I wish we'd taken videotapes between the very first rehearsal. That's what I wish I had captured. And like the difference between that and the Music Society minister.
Right.
That would have been a great comparison. And it really shows a lot of development over years. And since that time, we've got some other people here that have taken a strong interest and have bought their own pans, their own sets of pans. Also, this group has interested a lot of other areas. I got a call last night, in fact, from one of our graduates, Margaret Cribb, over in Waycrossers, that they've started a steel drum band. A bunch of band directors, music teachers over there have started a steel drum band.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the origin, and that's how it's where we've come. We've had the kindnesses of those gifts, you know, and we had good luck, good fortune when we found Charlie's pans and we were able to buy them. We've had good fortune with Tom Reynolds with those bass pans. He gave us a real good deal on those. So we feel, and then we've had good fortune, of course, having Bobby here as a student, as an arranger, and Campiglia to help push the band the direction. So we've lucked into a lot of things that have really helped the development of the band. And the band now is we've got more demand than we can actually accommodate.
You said they've got steel bands firing up in high school and stuff. Do you think that the dominating presence of this steel band is the next best thing in school? Do you think that has to do with geological location? Or is it because of our southern proximity to the islands?
I think any place you put a steel drum band, it's going to generate interest. I don't think geography has much to do with it. I think if in northern Illinois, at Northern Illinois University, they have one of the greatest steel drum band programs in the whole continent. And it doesn't deserve to exist in northern Illinois. I mean, right in the middle of the Corn Belt, and up there where it's cold and snowing. But it's more a feeling that the steel drum sound, when people take cruises or people go on vacations to Florida, the steel drums, I think, tend to remind people of vacation. Mm-hmm. And being at the beach, and being on the islands, or being in paradise. And I think just the sound of that just sends people into a whole, I think it lowers your stress and sends them into a whole nother thinking mode. Yeah. And so I think it's, I think where we're located here with palm trees and Spanish Mission stucco architecture certainly contributes to all that. But I don't believe that here we would have had a steel drum band now had we not had a sequence of just peculiar circumstances happen. If Dr. Young had not applied, I probably wouldn't have been as interested. A steel drum band would have been something I was interested in, but I believe it would have been number 20th on our priority list here.
Right.
What happened to us was Dr. Young applied for this and said he played steel drum bands, and we seized an opportunity,
right.
And it was from that everything else developed. But if it had not been for him, we wouldn't have had a steel drum band here now, probably.
So, I know that a lot of high schools, I mean, when I was coming up in high school and we just started steel drum band at UK, we found out it's a really delicate instrument to do the thing. We have to really baby them.
Yes, sir, break it. The end kick thing went great. There's something on the email if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I called FD. I felt my obligation. I called FD today and I explained that situation. I felt like I should in confidence.
Yeah.
Because I said, if anything comes up, I want you to know that I'd be happy to talk directly to the person and you know, tell her, you know, what our arrangement, because I didn't want that to be a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
So
okay. Was something said about
no,
it?
No, you know? No problem.
Good.
Everything was fine.
Good. Okay.
Thank you. So you'd ask about
there weren't many in the college and universities,
right.
When I was an undergrad,
right.
And that started to come on, and now it's starting to get into high school, which
right.
is a really good thing. Do you think that because there's such an interest in the music that this is the next big area to learn percussion in?
It's hard to say. I remember back when I was a high school student, when I was in high school in the 60s, there was a thrust toward total percussion at that time. Because in the 50s, percussionists were just drummers, and they really didn't branch out much. But then in the 60s, there was this thrust toward people becoming total percussionists, and it's the basis now on which all our college curricula are developed. That is, a percussionist is a snare drummer and a mallet player and a timpanist. If you graduate out of college, you have to play everything as a percussionist. Now that seems so commonplace, but at one time it was not. In fact, when I was looking for colleges when I was in high school, in the whole Southeast there weren't but three or four schools that had full-time percussion teachers. University of Tennessee, Knoxville, Columbia, South Carolina, University of Georgia did not have a full-time percussion teacher at the time. East Carolina University, University of Mississippi, Hattiesburg, and you know, it really was not very many, were not very many teachers. So when I got to college in the 60s, the marimba and the mallet ensemble was the unique thing. I never heard of a steel drum band. You know, that was, so when we went out and played in schools, we did a lot of marimba ensemble music, a lot of transcriptions. That was a very unique thing to hear percussionists play melody, I remember. And the steel drums now are kind of like that, you know. I think as the world becomes smaller and as communication becomes more efficient and more effective, and as we talk more and more about multiculturalism, and the more we talk about music in the world not being Western-based and having a broader perspective on music in general, I think we're going to have these influences. I don't think steel drums, I think steel drums now are kind of a big thing, but I think they'll develop to a point, but then they will become a component of a total percussion education, I think. You know, it'll be something that's interesting. And I think the study of steel drums is important for a couple of reasons. it enables students to study music from a pretty non-traditional perspective. When you think about it, when you play melody on the steel drum band, the theory and everything is exactly the same as everything that was playing. It's really pretty straight ahead harmony and pretty simple chord progressions. But the layout of the way the pitches are arranged on the instruments forces students to think about the music in a very different way. Whereas if you go to a keyboard, you can expect things to be laid out exactly like a piano, pretty much Western culture. But when you go to a steel drum, it's a totally different layout, and so you've got to think different. If you can't be thinking of a keyboard arrangement, it doesn't help you. A keyboard arrangement doesn't help you. And I think that's where using steel drums, particularly in the public schools, or even in an elementary school classroom where you have small children, if you have a steel drum there, I think it opens up a venue for some students that other students might have. People that don't know anything about music can play a steel drum because it doesn't help to know music theory to play a steel drum. Because there's no really systematic organization of the pitches. I mean, it's really a totally different thing. And in that regard, I think it's very different. It's very popular. In fact, I think one of the things I think universities and colleges have to guard against is not to let that get to be so big that it overshadows the other important aspects of professional instruction. Right. It's so popular, it's like rock and roll. I mean, it's so popular that it can dominate in a hurry. I mean, it is an important multicultural aspect of a person's education, but you would hate to see it reach the level that it overshadows everything else. Mostly because I think the music, although the music is real pleasant to listen to and a lot of fun, the music that steel drummers play is not music of great depth. You know, that's not a negative thing about it, but it doesn't have the depth of a Mahler symphony or a Beethoven symphony or an oratorio or a cantata or the Britten World Record.
For the Western traditional right. educational view, right. it's not as deep.
Yeah. Right. But the depth of the study of steel drums comes from its sociological significance in that culture from which it evolved. And I think that's very important. I think to play steel drums or to play pan and not understand the sociological significance of its evolution is a tragedy. Because in that, there is great depth. I mean, you can talk about slavery and you can talk about human oppression and the whole thing. But what I'm concerned about is you have just a group of kids in college learning to play nice tunes on it, and they treat it like they do a guitar or anything else. And it's at that point where it really lacks. But the music of steel drums is happy. It's carefree. Be happy, don't worry type of music. And the reason why it is because those people that played that music, or the origin, the evolution of that music, it was their escape from oppression. I mean, it really, and I think that is its significance. And if we lose that study, and that's the whole multicultural link with it, I think. But even that in itself, I mean, you have that as an added plus for that particular music. But there are musics that were made in Western music. There's a whole litany of music that was made in opposition to oppression. But it's there's not any of it that's dominant. So I think it is one portion of a total world spectrum that we need to be looking at.
Has Dr. Young heard any of our performances since he was here?
We have not, and we really ought to. Send him. I have to see. That was the last correspondence I had. I sent him a picture and I sent him some information about the group. But we probably ought to. We need to send him a tape at some point. I mean, he would be just very flattered to be able to hear what we're doing now.
Do you think the role of the steel drum band is a little bit to every expectation that's been set for?
At the university here?
At this university?
Yeah, I think it's done that and more. I really do. I think everybody that was in on the ground level of starting that, including Dr. Young, is for what was put into it by the university, which was minimal. I mean, the university actually didn't even buy the instruments, and we really we raised the private money. And Dr. Young was a 3D because he was on a Fulbright scholarship. So the university made zero investment except for his base payments. There's been a tremendous, I mean, the university's got return on the backs to several fold if you consider the money the group raised for the music society, the general attention that the group has been able to direct toward the Department of Music. You know, I think it really helped, the university really helped. To answer your question, yeah, it's got, the university's got its due back probably 100 times on that group.
How do you think the steel band rates with, in comparison to other steel bands that you've heard?
It's somewhere, I'd say, in the middle right now. It has gone over the last 5 years from, like I say, a fledgling group that was pretty, when I was doing it, that was kind of unsophisticated, kind of naive, to a group now that when they play, it's quite a sophisticated sound group. Technically, the group is probably not musically and artistically, the group is very sophisticated, but technically, the group is not as developed as could be some colleges. Mostly because our students here don't spend as much time on the instruments as they would at another university, where they might have a steel drum ensemble that meets two or three times a week and they have no time to spend on it, and where the instructor actually bears down on them pretty hard to practice the parts. We don't push our students hard here, and it's another thing that's what they do. We don't want them to practice a steel drum and not do the theory, or practice a steel drum and not do a student recital, or miss orchestra to play steel drums.
Right.
Whereas at a lot of universities, they have a large number of percussion majors, and some of those majors focus more on the steel drum area. I think for the emphasis that we put on it here, I think our group actually compares very well. In fact, I think to a lot of universities, I would have no qualm if this steel drum band got an invitation to play on the PASIC. I'd be happy to have it play, and I wouldn't worry about it. I think this group would hold up well on the PASIC convention. I think they'd make a good impression. And that's kind of a benchmark, really. In a lot of ways, you wouldn't want to play right after Northern Illinois, right? After Clifford Alexis, or you wouldn't want to play after, you know, after Our Boys, you know, a professional group.
Right.
But on the other hand, I think with other state universities, I think this group would compare very favorably. Very, very favorably indeed.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
It's a good time to know you.